Brainwaves. Hear the world differently. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Brainwaves, Melbourne's drive time radio show, giving voice to people with mental illness.
One in five have a mental illness, but five in five can enjoy this great program featuring heartwarming stories, great information, and some laughs as well.
Find us at 3CR, 855 on your AM dial. Sponsored by Mental Illness Fellowship of Victoria.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Brainwaves on 3CR 855 AM, and we are celebrating International Day of People with Disability, which is a United Nations sanctioned day that aims to promote an understanding of people with disability and encourage support for their dignity, rights, and well-being. The day also seeks to increase awareness of the benefits of the integration of people with disability in every aspect of political, social, economic, and cultural life. International Day of People with Disability brings together individuals, businesses, community organisations and governments from every corner of the world to celebrate and acknowledge the contributions, skills and achievements of people with a disability. And we have a great lineup today on Brainwaves. We have Alicia Carroll, Technical Advisor with the Disability Inclusive Department from CBM, Joel and Helen Fernandez from the Leprosy Mission. Helen is the International Programs Manager and Joel is a disability advocate with the National DPO, or Disabled People's Organization, in East Timor. And we also have Dr. Erminia Colucci, who's a visual anthropologist and a clinical psychologist, as well as a lecturer at the University of Melbourne. And she's the producer of Breaking the Chains documentary, which we'll hear all about. She works at the Global and Cultural Mental Health Unit. And today we're going to be hearing about disability inclusive development in low to middle income countries. Did you know that over 1 billion people, or approximately 15% of the world's population, live with some form of disability? Around the world, persons with disabilities face physical, social, economic, and attitudinal barriers that exclude them from participating fully and effectively as equal members of society. They're disproportionately represented among the world's poorest and lack equal access to basic resources such as education, employment, healthcare, and social and legal support systems, as well as have a higher rate of mortality. In spite of this situation, disability has remained largely invisible in the mainstream development agenda and its processes. So I'd like to give a warm welcome to our special guests, Dr. Erminia Colucci, Alicia Carroll, Helen, and Joel Fernandez. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We might kick it off. Why is International Day of People with Disability important to you?
International Day for People with Disabilities is really important for CBM, my organisation, and it really offers an opportunity to have a reflection about where we're at with disability inclusion in Australia and across other countries. It's a good time. If it's the first time you've thought about disability inclusion, it offers an opportunity for organisations to have an event and think about it for the first time. And it also allows us to celebrate diversity in our communities as well, and highlighting some of the ongoing issues that we might need to address in Australia to ensure the inclusion of people with disability.
Yeah,
I think it's a really important day in many countries, just to strengthen the voices of people with disabilities. And I think in many low to middle income countries, the voices of people with disabilities are not heard in general conversations. And so having at least one day of the year when there's a lot of advocacy activities and a lot of spotlight, and I think it's just a great time to bring to the table, to present to governments and to communities, just the importance of community diversity, as Alicia's said. And I know that from advocacy activities in previous years, there's been a lot of good positive change. So I think it's a real catalyst for the work that has been done, and also to look to the future years of what can be done.
I don't think I have much to add. It's been very well covered. I guess for me personally, the aspect I most like about it is the kind of celebration, a celebration of abilities, actually, and celebrating the kind of the potential or achieving, recognizing all that people with some disadvantage in some way they can achieve. And so that's about the celebration, the part I like about it.
I think this is very important for us, because I had disability as well, so it's very important for me, because this day, it's like in East Timor, we can tell to government and the community that people with disability have same right with other people. So yeah, it's very important for me. Like that.
Great. Alicia, can you tell us a bit about... What I'll do is I'll get you to each introduce you the organisations you're representing and tell us a bit about what they do. But Alicia, can you tell us about CBM and the CBM NOSL Partnership for Disability Inclusive Development and the Australian Disability and Development Consortium? Because I understand CBM has been spearheading disability inclusive development in partnership with other agencies.
Sure. So the organisation I work for is CBM Australia. I'm a technical advisor in the Disability Inclusive Development Department. So CBM is actually a really big international Christian development organisation, and we work for the Australian part of that. Our organisation is devoted to improving the lives of people with disability in the poorest places. We work in more than 18 countries, over 70 different projects. And we have a range of projects and programs. So I work for the program that engages other development organisations to include people with disability in their programs. So whether it be water and sanitation or livelihoods or health or education development programs, we advocate and help organisations to ensure that they're ensuring that people with disability are benefiting from their programs and are also participating in implementation and that kind of thing. So my department also works with CBM, with NOSL Partnership, which is the disability inclusive development part of the NOSL Institute for Global Health, which is based at Melbourne University. They have a focus on building research and policies and systems around inclusive development, and they also have a focus on global health as well. So we join forces, I guess, to address disability inclusion and keep it on the agenda in the development sector. And we also have international programs where we provide funding for disability specific programs in lots of different countries, and we work through local partners in those countries to deliver the programs, and they're programs directed at improving the lives of people with disability.
Yeah. Helen and Joel, could you tell us a bit about the Leprosy Mission? And also, Joel, we'd love to hear more about the DPO that you're involved in East Timor and your role there.
I'll kick it off with about the Leprosy Mission. So the Leprosy Mission is an international organisation similar to CBM, a bit smaller. And everyone always asks, you know, why leprosy? Isn't it eradicated? Isn't it an ancient disease? But actually leprosy still exists. And leprosy, if untreated, causes disability. And I think that a lot of people that we work with, even after they've taken the cure, the medical cure, they would still identify as having leprosy, and that is a label that they feel that they carry for a long time because of the stigma and the myths that are associated with leprosy. So the leprosy mission works in about 31 different countries. So some countries are funding and, I guess, technical advice giving, and the other countries are the real experts at implementing the projects and really working so closely with communities where leprosy is still a big problem. So for the leprosy mission, we work everything from disease prevention and control, so working with governments on their plans, I guess doing a lot of information and awareness raising with communities, and then the medical treatment, sometimes surgery if people have impairments that can be fixed through surgery, and then everything to community development and really working with communities where leprosy has been a big problem, and helping them to develop their communities as they want to. And then we've done a little bit of work with disabled persons organisations, especially in smaller countries where leprosy has been a problem and where leprosy affected people are a big proportion of the population of people with disabilities. So in Timor-Leste, we've done a lot of work with the DPO there, really to do advocacy across the whole country and improve the lives of people with leprosy or disability across all sectors. So, yeah, I guess Joel can talk a little bit about that DPO.
Okay, about DPO, Disabled People Organization Timor-Leste, East Timor. We do focus on advocacy. My role in Disabled People Organization is disability advocate. So we always do advocate to government to ratify UN CRPD, because in Timor-Leste we didn't ratify yet this CRPD.
The UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then we have like 13 districts in Timor, East Timor. So we have 13 staff in all of district. So they always do like socialization to schools, community, to talk more about disability, that they have same right with other people. And sometimes our staff go to school, then talk with the teacher, so they can accept people with disability to come to the school, because like every school in Timor don't have accessibility, so we will talk with the teacher. So if they accept the people with disability can come to school, we will provide like accessibility about toilet or ramp to the school, so people with disability can access to the school.
So I understand, Joel, you've been involved in doing audits of physical access in schools and in other spaces.
That's my rule as well, because we want to people with disability can have good access everywhere. So we go to the place and then we will build a ramp or toilet that one have access for people with disability.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And Alicia and Armenia have recently come back from overseas and have been doing some fascinating work there. Armenia, could you tell us a bit about your recent trip to the Philippines and what you were doing over there in terms of mental health and psychosocial support?
Yes. So, as you mentioned, I am with the Global and Cultural Mental Health Unit at the Center for Mental Health, School of Population and Global Health at Melbourne University. And we work in a number of different areas related to mental health issues, normally in other migrants, refugee populations in Australia or in low middle-income countries. And so we do have a kind of a social justice and human rights interest. And one of my particular interests is about violence against women. children. So as you mentioned, I just returned from Philippines, where I worked on a documentary film project with my collaborator, Dr. Dina Nadera, from Philippines, around basically domestic violence against women. And so we were looking within the frame of mental health and prevention of suicide, we were looking about experiences of women who were or are victim of abuse, and try to understand also what actually is helping them or has helped them to stop the violence, what has been of support to them, and then also working with a number of organizations and government and non-government, try to understand what actually they are providing in terms of prevention of domestic violence, and what are some of the challenges that they are facing, and as well as what are successful strategies in helping preventing domestic violence. So it's been a very interesting project. Now the data collection was done through a film, so it's a visual research project. So now I have a lot of very interesting and challenging material to kind of edit and make a new documentary about.
Yeah, fantastic. Alicia, within the Australian Council for International Development, disability inclusion has become a cross-cutting issue, which CBM and the Australian Disability Development Consortium has been lobbying and advocating for a long time. So what I mean by a cross-cutting issue is that when developing projects, you have to take into consideration things such as, are people with disability not just consulted, but are they included in the program? Do they have access to the program? Are their needs being taken into consideration, and how will the project address these needs? I'd like to hear a bit about your involvement in that. Yeah.
Sure. I guess to assist organisations to think about how they can incorporate disability inclusion in every aspect of their work, whether it's in their own office or when they're designing programs out in the field, that they're including people with disability from the start, that people with disability or the organisations that represent them, DPOs, are involved in where the decisions are made about how programs happen in communities. And that they're involved throughout the program.
So at all different levels in a meaningful way.
That's right. Yeah. So that they can make sure that the development program is equitable and doesn't miss anyone or leave anyone behind. Sometimes people are not confident in how to do disability inclusion, so we provide technical advice and we do training and capacity building with different organisations. I guess one of the most important things we do is help form linkages between disabled people's organisations and development organisations, so they can start having conversations about how the program would best work and meet the needs of different people in that community. So I guess the code of conduct really supports that work. It's something that organisations sign up to voluntarily. And can help that to guide their work around it and to check that they're delivering their programs in an equitable way.
Now, you also work in the mental health sphere and working on providing psychosocial support. I know CBM's been instrumental in natural disaster response, say post-tsunami or post-natural disaster in Aceh in Indonesia, and also post-conflict areas, as well as in community development programs. Could you tell us a bit about some of the psychosocial supports that the programs are offering?
Sure. So CBM does support a number of community mental health programs in West Africa and Asia, and those programs are designed to train staff in how to provide psychosocial support, to develop I guess, models of support that fits that culture and in that context, using through local partners. It's about creating awareness about the importance of mental health to human development. We know that mental health is often a neglected area of development.
Yeah, precisely, because constantly we're seeing images of malnutrition, poverty, famine, human tragedy on large scale, but we don't know about what the supports are that exist for mental health services, which are obviously needed. We hear so much about material aid being provided, but not the psychosocial support that's being provided.
Yeah, that's right. It can be not as visible, I guess, but we know that particularly around humanitarian responses, there's been much more awareness about the importance of psychosocial support systems in those responses, and it's become part of the mandatory approach to disaster response now. So that's a really great improvement. And I think in health generally, it's starting to gain momentum that primary healthcare needs to include mental health awareness for the staff, and that they know how to provide psychosocial support to people who come to their health centres as well. I think the areas that need further development is in education, where we're teaching young people and children about how to be aware of their mental health and how to stay healthy. And I guess too, in terms of people with disability, people who experience psychosocial disability are often, even amongst disability groups, perhaps experiencing extreme discrimination and particular issues that are unique to their group, and that it's really important that we support people with psychosocial disability to have a voice about those issues for them. And that's been a part of our work in the community mental health programs as well, as encouraging self-help groups to form so people can provide support to each other. And also sometimes those groups can take an advocacy role in the communities as well and start to challenge the sometimes negative attitudes that people might have in a community towards people with psychosocial disability.
Helen and Joel, we spoke earlier about there can be stigma, discrimination, lack of acceptance and understanding of people with disability. In your line of work with people affected by leprosy, I understand there's still leper colonies in some parts of the world where people are effectively segregated from the rest of society and are shunned and rejected and having to beg for survival. That certainly would impact on mental health and well-being. Could you elaborate on psychosocial support that the Leprosy Mission provides with its partners?
Yeah, sure. I think, leprosy still is extremely stigmatised as a disease, and for people affected by leprosy, the stigma that they often face is quite extreme, and even some countries still have discriminatory laws against people affected by leprosy, which is quite surprising. but I just remember a story that one of the guys that we work with in a community in Nepal, he'd seen a friend be diagnosed with leprosy, and basically the village had kicked this other guy out and let him live in a field, and if he ever came close to the community, they'd throw rocks at him. That man passed away because of malnutrition, and then this friend was also diagnosed with leprosy, and he was really fearing for his own life and for his own well-being. And through some of the work that the Leprosy Mission does there, really the support, and I think Alicia touched on just the importance of self-help groups and having peers that meet together and provide that support peer-to-peer is just so important. And he became part of a self-help group who helped him heal his ulcers, which is the visible sign often of leprosy. And he had an amazing story where he actually then became this great advocate and really helped the attitudes of people in the community to turn around and helped to diagnose other cases of leprosy and to really, I guess, turn that stigma around. And I think just that role of peer-to-peer support is just so important. We have a lot of hospital-based programs where people who have just been newly diagnosed with leprosy are offered counselling, just because I think, you know, the diagnosis of leprosy does correlate with, often people say, I felt so depressed. And that support for psychosocial well-being is just so, so important. And I think that traditional model of counselling, although it has its place, I think that peer-to-peer self-help group has been so, so important. We've just seen that that's really enabled a lot of community support and, yeah, I guess moves and progress towards wellness at a community level.
We're going to go to a song now. This is Spark by Simon Fitzpatrick.
This is Spark. See the lights, see the dark. Hope that the daybreak brings you a spark. Mottled heads, empty room. Life is death too soon. I hope for bigger blue skies. I hope for days with you. I'm smiling at you sweetly, but feeling oh so blue. Loan me a smile, bring me the moon. Cry for an angel, hoping the light will come through. It might be a cliche, hoping love comes through. You're smiling at me sweetly from your lonely room. Pain is deep, but breathing is nice. You get what you get out of life. See the light, see the dark. Hope that the daybreak brings you a spark. Mottled head, empty room. Life is death too soon.
You're listening to Brainwaves on 3CR 855 AM, and it's a special broadcast celebrating International Day of People with Disability. And our guests today are Joel and Helen Fernandez. Helen is the International Programs Manager with the Leprosy Mission. Joel is a disability advocate in Timor-Leste. And we also have Alicia Carroll, Technical Advisor for Disability Inclusive Development at CBM, and another guest, Dr. Erminia Colucci from the University of Melbourne. We've been talking about how across the humanitarian aid and development programs, disability inclusion is becoming more and more on the agenda. Isn't that right, Alicia?
That's right.
Yeah. And Alicia, you've just come back from, was it Bangkok? Could you tell us a bit about what you're doing over there?
Sure. A really important part of CBM's work is to support people with disability to have a voice about the issues that affect them and impact on them. And one, I guess, a group of people who might not have had as strong a voice in our region is disabled people's organisations for people with psychosocial disability. So I was really excited and fortunate to go to Bangkok to be a part of a meeting of people with psychosocial disability from 12 different countries across the Asia region. They met for the first time last year with just 3 countries represented, and this year they had 12. So there's a real momentum, I guess, around people with psychosocial disability from the region coming together to talk about issues that are unique to them in this region. And they are developing a strategy for how they can support each other to advance disability inclusion in their countries. So their focus is on transforming communities for inclusion and really looking at how they can build on community strengths and psychosocial supports for people with disabilities. And I guess being able, as an organisation, being able to support and listen to those issues being aired, and then use and supporting that in our own advocacy as well when we're working with other development organisations to help them to be more inclusive in their work.
Can you define psychosocial support and what it looks like on the ground?
Psychosocial support really represents a kind of holistic approach to supporting a person. So it recognises the psychology of the internal thoughts and emotions and behaviours of a person, but it also relates to the interaction with a person's community and their families and all the interactions that they have in their society and the kind of sometimes barriers that society puts on how we behave as well. So it's a fairly complex term, but I think it's because it really represents a range of things and really important things when we're thinking about providing support in a community. Also, I guess people with psychosocial disability, people might choose to identify as having a disability, a psychosocial disability, or they might identify as being a psychiatric survivor, which is related to where people have had a negative experience with health services and consider that they've survived that and prefer to use that identity. And then some people wouldn't associate with disability at all, but might have still experienced discrimination in their communities because they've had a mental health issue or seen as different in their community.
Thanks. Joel, you wanted to talk a bit about stigma that you had experienced from having a disability in East Timor and what it's like for people in the context of the country you're from.
Okay, like in Timor, because we in Timor, we our country is lots of mountains, and then it's like it's very new country, so yeah, it's like people with disability there, their life is very hard, and then I had like lots of stigma before I was in Timor. It's like when I want to go somewhere, I want to catch taxi. When I stop, then sometimes when they saw me in a wheelchair, they just don't want to stop. They just go, and but sometimes others stop, but when they see my wheelchair, they just, I don't have a room in my booth because I have big speakers there. So, sorry. Then they just go. So, yeah, it's like, it's very bad attitude. And then sometimes when I went to wedding party, like some people just talking about me, why these people just come to this party? Why he just stayed home or... Yeah, it's like that. So I just feel, wow, it's not really good attitude. And yeah, that's for me, that's my experience. And then lots of experience like happen for other people with disability there. It's very bad because sometimes their family still hide them from the community. And then, yeah.
So you've personally experienced social exclusion.
And
Joel and Helen have a love story. met in East Timor, and your relationship's featured on national television in East Timor and New Zealand. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
We'd love to hear how you met and about that documentary, about your life, love story.
Yeah, we, in a very funny turn of events, our love story, I guess, but also some of the work that Joel was doing in Timor-Leste was featured on a documentary by Attitude Live, which is a New Zealand television company. And, Joel and I met in Timor during some work for the leprosy mission. And, what else to say? I guess just as a bystander, but now Joel's wife, I was also felt some of the stigma that Joel experienced during our dating months. And just a small snippet of that was once we went for a date in Dili at a restaurant, and we were just sitting there and Joel was holding my hand, and the waitress was so shocked and she called all her friends to come. And so pretty soon we had a little audience behind the counter, and they weren't preparing our food, they were just staring at us. And I think just that experience helped me have a tiny bit of insight into just the discrimination that that people face in Timor still, just the lack of understanding about the benefits of a diverse community, and just that, I guess, the thought that people with disabilities should be hidden away. And I think things are really positively changing, and I think that's great, but it was just a really interesting experience of, a little taste of what Joel's experienced and many other people living in Timor and across the world. So,
but Joel, there was quite an overwhelming positive response to that documentary, wasn't there?
Yeah, he says yes.
That's all right.
I think in Timor it was really nerve-wracking, actually, because we're both a little bit shy. But in Timor, it's really... it went viral on Facebook, and many people, when we've been back to Timor, have actually known who we are and come up to us and, oh, you're Joel, oh, you know. And I think it's just been a great advocacy piece for, you know, Joel to come out and kind of tell his story about how he acquired his disability and the challenges and barriers that he faced. And, I hope that it helps other people think about disability into the future in Timor.
Yeah. Speaking of being hidden away, we have Dr. Erminia Colucci, who's the producer of a documentary called Breaking the Chains in Indonesia. It's about people with experiencing mental illness in Indonesia who are detained, chained, or shackled, or even half buried in pits indefinitely. We're going to go to a promo for the screening, the launch of this film, and we'll have Erminia on right after the break.
Do you know that in some parts of the world, people with mental illness are chained up and do not receive any help at all?
Breaking the Chains is a new film investigating these seclusion and restraint practices in Indonesia.
Come along to the launch on International Human Rights Day on Wednesday, 10th December.
This free screening will be followed by a panel discussion, plus there will be special performances by Plan B Big Band and others.
Come along from 4:30 till 9 p.m. at Elizabeth Murdoch Theatre A, the University of Melbourne, Swanston Street, Carlton. For further info, email brainwaves@mifellowship.org or visit movie-ment.org. No booking is necessary.
Free Pursuit. Break the chains.
Dr. Erminia Colucci, welcome to Brainwaves. And it's been a labour of love, quite confronting and intense work producing the documentary Breaking the Chains. It's going to be screening is going to be launched next Wednesday. Perhaps you could tell us a bit about it.
Yes, and I actually also want to use the opportunity to thank 3CR for being part of the event we're organizing on next Wednesday, and you, Ben, for being a fantastic partner to work with to putting this together. So it was and it is a work of labor, so it's a continuing thing. It's a, looking into the issue of human rights abuses against mental health issues. So this project was started a couple of years ago in Indonesia, as you mentioned, and I've been following an organization based in Cianjur, which is in Java Island. They are an organization of volunteers. They also have mental health issues, and they go around in the community, try to find people who have been chained or in other forms of physical constriction or seclusion, and try to work with the family to help them understand about mental health, first of all, and then working towards providing a better care for them, to aim towards their freedom, but also to provide support for them, reintegration in the community. So this is actually a part of a series I'm making. So it's for the first film, and as you mentioned, next week, finally, we'll be releasing it, and hopefully soon also we'll be able to make the DVDs and start distributing it. It's a part of a series. So another documentary which is linked to this actually looks into the story of a guy we call Anto, and you know about Anto. So Anto is a young man in East Java. When I filmed him 2 years ago, I was filming him to have somebody which has an insider perspective around the issues of being chained, and being denied very basic human rights because of mental health problem. And I thought I was filming somebody who retrospectively was talking about this experience. Sadly, Anto and I became friends, so we are constantly in touch through Skype, Facebook, email, you name it. And sadly, since I filmed him, he has been going on and off chain several times. Although he's actually, can speak English, has learned English, he's now at university. His family, when he's unwell, chain him. And it's not because they are bad people. I've been living with Anto for a little while, so I know the family. It's not because they're very concerned about him getting lost, which he has in the past, about him possibly being a victim of violence by other member of the community, and therefore when he's unwell, what they do is often chaining him. But as you mentioned, I just come back from Philippines and actually went there to film about domestic violence, and while I was in one island, my colleague was a psychiatrist, was asked to go to the house of a young man who in Philippines was in similar condition of what we've seen in Indonesia. So he was kept inside this little hut. He became unwell when he was in his 30s and was like that for 4 years. And he had his hands and his legs chained, so he had absolutely total lack of movement. And he was actually becoming disabled physically because of the impossibility to actually move. And then all the issues around the disability developed as consequence of being secluded and restrained. So, this is the project. And as you mentioned, Wednesday will be launching the first documentary of the series. So please come along and be part of it's really a day for celebrating, again, the human rights of people with mental health problems. We will have a number of discussions looking from issues from Indonesia, but also closer to us, looking at asylum seekers and abuses against asylum seekers and refugees in Australia, looking about also human rights abuses against mentally ill that actually happens within Australia mental health systems.
We have a song by Heidi Everett, All of Us.
Take me for a fool and build my heart.
We're back. You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, special broadcast on Brainwaves for International Day of People with a Disability. I'm Ben Rinaldo, and we have Helen and Joel Fernandez from the Leprosy Mission, Alicia Carroll from CBM, and Dr. Erminia Colucci from the University of Melbourne. Welcome back. Now, Alicia, CBM's also launched a series of videos called End the Cycle, End the Cycle of Poverty, is that right?
Yes, the End the Cycle videos were developed with the support of the Australian Aid Program, and they can be watched from our website as well. There's a series of short films about people's experiences of disability in different contexts across the Pacific and Asia and Africa. It's a great videos to watch to get an idea of what disability inclusion can look like in a community and about some of the actions that can be taken to help overcome barriers in communities. So, for example, one of the most recent videos is of Timothy. He's a man from West Africa who tells his story of experiencing a head injury. He was experiencing seizures and lots of pain after the accident, and he wasn't able to go to work at that time because of the pain, and his family left him, and his community started to exclude him as well. And so over time he started to feel really depressed, and he started to think about suicide as well. And luckily he came in contact with one of our community-based rehabilitation programs that focused on mental health, and they provided him some information. They linked him to services to help him cope with the pain that he was experiencing and the seizures, and they also supported him to join a self-help group where he could share his experiences with others and start the healing process. He now facilitates those self-help groups and assists other people to get support when they need it as well, and to build awareness in the communities about how to support someone who's in distress rather than excluding people. So these are great videos to demonstrate different ways that disability inclusion can happen in communities in some of the poorest countries.
Thanks. I think peer support is really important and essential, and I work in peer support in mental health as an advocate as well, and makes such a difference. Now, Helen and Joel, we're going to ask you to talk a bit about the Millennium Development Goals and inclusive development.
Yeah, sure. I think as the world has been drafting the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals, there's been a lot of advocacy really towards more inclusive development goals. And I think one of the great things that the disability and development world has going for it, particularly in Australia, I think, is there's a really great organisation, Australian Disability and Development Consortium. And really, together with their international counterpart, this International Disability and Development Consortium, they've been really, I guess, instrumental in gathering and advocating for the Sustainable Development Goals, along with many, many partners around the world, for those Sustainable Development Goals to be more inclusive and to really, I guess, hear the voices of people with disabilities from all over the world, and that those goals are shaped by those voices as well. And I mean, I think in the disability and development sector, there's just great collaboration and cooperation. And I think that because of ADDC and IDDC, hopefully we can work towards some really inclusive sustainable development goals for post-2015 that really do capture the voices of people with disabilities and are for them as well as for everyone else, but definitely not excluding them, which we've seen in the past. So yeah, I guess that just heading forward and looking forward from here, that as the world continues to draft those goals, that I think it's just really important for people to be involved in that conversation, to advocate for inclusion and to promote diversity.
Great. So just for our listeners, the Millennium Development Goals, or the MDGs, are 8 development objectives set by the United Nations membership organizations for the global community. The goals consist of 21 quantifiable targets and are measured by 60 indicators. They address the needs of the world's poorest citizens and the world's most marginalized populations by featuring collaborative action in key areas such as poverty, education, health, and the environment. The MDGs do not explicitly mention disability, but it's good that organizations and individuals are advocating to get disability inclusive development on the agenda, which CBM and the Leprosy Mission have played a role in that. Our guests today are Alicia Carroll, Technical Advisor for Disability Inclusive Development at CBM in the Inclusive Development Department, Helen Fernandez, International Programs Manager with the Leprosy Mission, and Joel Fernandez, who's a disability advocate in Timor-Leste with the National DPO there. And we also have Dr. Erminia Colucci from the Global and Cultural Mental Health Unit at the University of Melbourne. I'd just like to say that it's been a fantastic program. A bit about myself. I had adult onset of a physical and mental health condition, and I've had an interest in development from a young age, having grown up in West Africa and going on to study international and community development, and now working in community mental health promotion, advocacy and recovery are some of my interests now. And it's been a long-term interest which has sort of fostered my passion to alleviate poverty and improve livelihoods. I've volunteered both in Australia and abroad with several different humanitarian aid agencies, and these experiences have had a great impact on my life, and I've become very passionate about issues of poverty and social justice. I hope today's program's been informative and inspiring. Through my travels and personal life experiences, I've been inspired by the work being done to alleviate poverty and am constantly challenged to make a difference in the lives of others. Having seen firsthand the plight of people with disabilities, I'm motivated to participate in this global movement aimed at increasing the capacities of organizations, individuals and communities to address the barriers to access and participate, to access and participation of people with disabilities, and that's what today's program's been all about. And just finally, I'm a supporter of and I espouse the philosophy of encouraging participation of people with disabilities in community development programs to develop relevant and appropriate projects that will empower people with skills and knowledge that will allow them to participate in the planning of their own futures and attain their rights. And we've heard today a bit about those kinds of movements all around the world. So any final key messages from our guests for our listeners today in celebration of International Day of People with Disability?
I think it's fantastic that 3CR has committed time to dedicate a day to International Day of People with Disability. It's a really great time for us to reflect and to think about the issues that people with disability face every day, to remind ourselves of our obligation too, as Australians, under the United Nations Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, that every person has a right to reach their full potential in life, and that we can all play a role, whether it's in our own community or in our own organisation or in development, like where we work. So thanks very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thanks, Alicia. We're coming towards the end of our program. Please send your listener feedback to brainwaves@mifellowship.org. To take us out, we've got Beyond Blue by Ray Murta. Stay tuned for coming up next is Small Talk, who will be live on air with a special broadcast for International Day of People with Disability.
Make this your favorite song.
Make this your favorite song.
And we'll sing Beyond Blue.
We'll sing Beyond Blue.
They will all sing along.
And we'll all sing along.
And we'll learn as we do.
And we'll learn as we do.
Because everyone knows that happiness clings and happiness grows while everyone sings. Every song that you sing,
every song that you sing,
has a story to tell,
has a story to tell,
and the love it can bring,
and the love it can bring,
to the lonely as well,
to the lonely as well.
If you choose the right song, all your dreams will come true. So when you sing along, you will sing Beyond Blue. Drive that black dog away.
Drive the black dog away.
If it's bothering you.
If it's bothering you.
He's the worst kind of stray.
He's the worst kind of stray.
Cause he's bothered me too.
Cause he's bothered me too.
And I'll understand. And I'll be there for you. If you'll join with my band, and we'll sing Beyond Blue.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.